I also would like to welcome all of you in the precious name of the Lord. I wish all God's richest blessing with all my heart. We expect that God blesses us, that He will be with us, that He will speak to us, as we partly have sung. And we also hope that we can give a brief overview today and tomorrow of the past 20 years of that what God has done. We are glad that you could all come, especially all our neighbors. We welcome you in a special way. Many greetings have come in via telephone and also via telegram. Many think on us on these 2 days in a special way. For the word of the Lord has reached the ends of the earth. It did not remain hidden what God has done. Many would have liked to come. Brother Marco Vori phoned. He sends greetings. Brother Lackner phoned. He sends greetings. I tried to make notes here and to write it down. In any case, many extended greetings to all. And with this, I have extended them. If you feel like I do, then there is thankfulness in our hearts. Thankfulness for that what God has done. And I think we should read one verse and sing a chorus to it. They come from the east and west. They come from the south and north. They feast with a king to dine as his guest and hear the words of the Lord, beholding his hallowed face, blessed partakers of his grace, as gems in his crown to shine. And in particular, the chorus, since Jesus has set me free, I'm happy as heart can be. They come from the hills, they come from the valleys, to the place where the soul rests. They wear the wedding garment. They meet the bridegroom who purchased them with his own blood on the old rugged cross. This is the center of our proclamation, Jesus Christ, the crucified one. They come from the east and west. I think it's known in all languages. That's how it will be. At the end of that, what God is now doing, the beholding of the bridegroom will be, the bride will see him. We are convinced of that because it's the word of God. God's promises remain. They do not stagger. Jesus sealed with his own blood what he promised in his word, as the song goes. May the heavens burn and may the mountains vanish. He who seeks will find out that God's word remains forever true. We are happy that he looked for us, that he found us, that we may be his own possession. We are also glad about that he opened our eyes, that we see the miracles in his word, the miracles of the promises and their fulfillment, the miracles which God has done. Those will see them for whom they are determined. For there are people, they have eyes and see not, they have ears and hear not. Then there are others, them God has anointed the eyes, opened the ears, opened the hearts so that they hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. We look today or in these days back to 20 years that have passed very quickly. 20 years in which God has done great things. I still remember it very well, especially the neighboring countries into which we traveled at that time for the first time with the Word. Then several stations, also in our country. I remember Karhof. I remember some kind of things. I think on Switzerland, Austria. I think on Belgium, Brussels, Paris, Lyon. I think on many cities. I also think on Eastern Europe. Under all circumstances, we have carried the word of the Lord that became great to us. And most surely, a great harvest will be brought in. I am fully convinced that the harvest is still outside. It became great to me that the Lord has given to our beloved brother Branham approximately 20 years to work, to preach, and to say to us what we have to know. Now we had around 20 years to translate and to make the sermons available in the various languages. And now we are before the great question, what comes next? I actually don't wish for myself another 20 years. I wished that I can say, and I say it, come soon, Lord Jesus. But I would not be angry if the Lord would give us a couple of years of the real blessing. That would be fine with me. He will come at the appointed time anyway. No one of us has influence on it, but we all would be glad if he would give us a short time of the special blessings, a time in which we are one heart and one soul, where all the children diseases are cured and passed, a time where everyone takes everyone as he is, where no one stumbles at anyone, and where we all can walk forward. And as at the beginning, be one heart and one soul, that God confirms his word. And it just belongs to it. And I believe that it will come. The time of the divine confirmation is here. We don't need it to believe. We believe anyhow. We believe God. And we believe his word. For us, the word is confirmed long time ago. It doesn't need to be still confirmed. But if we want, or if God intends to add still others, then this is a great help, the greatest help that God can give us in the proclamation of his word, is that he confirms his word which we preach by mighty signs and wonders. This is a great support. It is not the thing itself, but a great support of the matter of God, by that the Lord himself bears witness of the word of his grace and confirms it. After all, we are the result of the word. We have become a part of the word. And that was the aim of the proclamation of Brother Branham, that the church is taken out from everything what separates her from God, and that she is brought into full conformity with God and with God's Word. I have probably said it yesterday. A person who does not agree with God does not need to pray at all, for God does not hear him. We have to agree with God, and this can only be if we line up with his word. If we line up with his word, then we also line up with one another, and then we are one heart and one soul, and then God can confirm his word as he promised it. As I said, I think in the course of these days back to many events. I made my first missionary trip already in 1964 to India when Brother Branham was still alive. And then of course came this great and crucial day in April 1966 when Brother Branham, yes, I wanted to say buried, but only his body, his tabernacle, he is in glory. Believers don't die, they just change their dwelling place. They have eternal life. They just cross from time into eternity. But it was a special day, and we have just recently spoke about it, special days in our life, special days in the plan of salvation, special days which we remember. And this was also a very special day for all who we loved Brother Branham. A whole world collapsed. And if the Lord would not have given instruction beforehand, then really no one would have known how it should go on. This you should have experienced and witnessed to be able to have an idea about it. But God has laid it in such a way that I could be present at the burial. I saw how the coffin was laid down into the grave. But on the same day, I wrote it already, you can read it, on the same day, the tears and the deep sorrow turned into a safety and certainty. Before the sun set on this day, it spoke in my heart, the time to give out the food has come. And before my spiritual eyes, a picture unfolded of what would happen. And thus, hastily, I spoke with some brothers. And then I told them what the Lord promised beforehand, what he said, and what shall be done. I wrote there the sentence, without me, no spreading of the end-time message would have been possible. Just like without Brother Branham, there would be no end-time message at all. Yes, you say amen, brother. But it is a hard thing. But it's the plain truth. The plain truth. God really took care for everything. It was not our plan. After all, we didn't know the plan of God ourselves. If he would not have revealed it, we would not even know it today. But I believe, if also you look back on the past years, then you also can testify that the Spirit of God has led us deeper into the Word, revealing to us the connections that today we see more than we saw 10 or 20 years ago. And if the Lord will still give us more time, then we will be able to say the same. But I was directly responsible for it, that the sermons of Brother Branham were actually printed. Not one single sermon would have been printed if there would not have been a Brother Frank. I didn't leave Jeffersonville until Brother Borders promised me that he will print the sermons of Brother Branham, because I knew that we would need them for our translation work. And the first sermon was published exactly 1 year later, the last one which Brother Branham preached, the Lord's Supper, from the 12th of December 65. And so, I really, according to the foreknowledge of God, I have really a part in the doings of the Lord in the plan of salvation in this generation. And as I just said, I didn't look for it. A divine call, a ministry comes out of the blue sky without that a man knows it. Suddenly it is here. If I now look back to these years, it really went through ups and downs, through being understood and through misunderstandings. Brother Rus read a word that could not fit better for that cause. We all read it here. In the word of truth, I refer again to 2 Corinthians 6, the word which we read from verse 7. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. I want to be such a beggar who makes many rich. Amen? That would be a good thing if God could ordain us for that also. As beggars, earthy, but who can make spiritually many rich. Our precious sister from Saarbrücken gave such a wonderful testimony today. 25 years ago, she heard the song Just As I Am, and it spoke to her, and only now she has come to the Lord and is so happy, so grateful. It were not only people added from churches who believed already, but also people who were not believers earlier. They have been saved. They received forgiveness, grace, and salvation, and thus were added to the Church of the Living God. As already said, many testimonies could be given of that what God has done. But we as people think, of course, if God sends one, then he is above all, then this is a half God. No, even the prophets who were called gods were just humans like you and I. They had their ups and downs, but God was with them. And what was it actually all about? About a great prophet? No, it was about the great God who revealed his great plan of salvation to his people. They were carriers of the divine promise. They were not the Word. They were carriers of the Word. The Word itself is the Lord. For the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Of course, everyone who received the Word had also a part in the word, and the same applies to our time. We will have to look at this more closely to understand that we are not just spectators, but partakers of that what God is doing now, that we also have promises for our time, which will find their fulfillment in us and through us. Yes, they must be fulfilled, for the scripture cannot be broken. God will watch over his word until the end, and he will at the right time fulfill it over and again. So, let us rejoice over all, from all peoples, tongues, and nations, whom the Lord called out already. And we also rejoice over all whom he will still call out. I have said it earlier, God had a time period to make all the sermons available, and there was a time period to translate all the sermons into various languages, and may it now please the Lord to use us all so that the harvest can be brought in. I don't know how you think, and it's actually not important how we think. Important is that we line up with God and God's word. This is very important. And that we start to think the thoughts of God, for they are much higher than our thoughts, just like his ways are higher than our ways. God let Moses know his ways and the children of Israel his doing. God is the same today. He let us know his ways with his people. We know that we live in the end time, that the return of the Lord is very near. We know about the promises for our days, about the fulfillment of the various scriptures which we can read. How nice that everything what God does is checkable. It is straightforward. One can search the Holy Scriptures and find out whether things are so. And if one then can find the answer of God in the Word of God, then one stands on a rock. Then storms can come and the winds blow. Nothing happens. One remains standing according to the Word of the Lord, like the wise man who built his house on a rock. When the downpour came and the winds blew against the house, it stood firm because it was built on a rock. Jesus Christ is the rock of salvation. Paul writes, another foundation no one can lay except that which was laid already, and this is Christ. Peter writes that the unbelievers stumble in disobedience against the word. For the unbelievers, he is a stumbling block and a rock of offense. For the believers, the rock of salvation and the precious cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, upon which the church was built, and therefore the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Even though sometimes we are discouraged, we admit that. But one thing we know in the depth of our hearts, that God will finish his started work majestically in power and glory. Not in a defeat, but in the greatest victory of all times. We, who we have suffered some defeats, find it difficult to believe it. But we can still believe God despite our own failures. If God would have failed, this would be different, but God cannot fail. God is God, He remains faithful throughout all eternities, and our unfaithfulness, our failures, cannot annul God's faithfulness. He still remains faithful, and this until the end. So once again, I want to say that I rejoice with you to experience these days. Our friends from Switzerland, our friends from Austria, from everywhere, and not only our friends, but friends of God. For what do we read of Abraham? He was a friend of God. What do we read in John 15? Ye are my friends, for I told you everything what I intend to do. He no longer calls us servants or strangers, but friends. We are of the household of our God in these days. We are the people of the Lord in this time. Do you believe it? Amen. 100%. By grace, we are the people of God in this time. People who experienced the redemption by the blood of the Lamb. People who have let themselves be corrected. Who didn't kick out. Who didn't say, oh, this is false and so forth. You all know, in the days of the Lord, it was similar. When John came on the scene, and then also Jesus, and later on the apostles, the mainstream religions were all against it and did their utmost to hinder the work of God. Even a soul of Tarsus who thought it to be necessary to persecute the Church of God so terribly, thinking to do God a favor. Can you imagine that there can be people with such a religious blindness that they cause great damage, persecuting people, and then even think they do God a favor? Referring to the last days, our Lord says that the time will come where one will deliver up the other to death, one brother the other brother, and think he has done God a favor. How grateful we can be that despite of all confusion can have a clear discernment of the Spirit. And the Spirit does not discern arbitrary. He always discerns after the divine rule. And the divine rule is the Word of God that remains forever. There are enough people who have always nicely discerned everything what was in agreement with their concept was right, and that what didn't agree with it was false. This was the gift of discernment which was known during many years. Today it is different. God alone is right, and all the others have to submit under it and have to agree with Him. No one needs to think that God can agree with us. No, we agree with Him by accepting His Word. We receive it. He said it. It is binding for us. Let us now read some scriptures. And then we would like tonight really pray for those who need urgent prayer and who have come especially for that, to be prayed for. I would like to start with Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Here Paul writes the following. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, So far, this precious word, He has, that's how we read here, made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself. God has purposed a plan. God has a project, and this He carries out. And it says here that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, not when we say, now it is so far, but when the divine counsel in its development has arrived there, where God intends to do certain things, then they will take place. No man has influence on it, but we all can have part in it. Just imagine what this would be if we would have an influence on the counsel of God, on the time plan, when what should take place. My goodness, then everyone would wish something different. And what would then be? A total confusion. No man has an influence on it. Everything is in the hands of God, in His wonderful, eternal plan. But we all may have part in it, and we face the divine influence, its impact. For everything what God does has an impact. It leaves an effect with them who have heard and experienced it. For all of us, God's word is not just a thing which we read and which is written somehow in this book. For us, God's word is spirit and life, right? For us, God's word is spirit and life, spiritual food it has become to us. So, God will carry out, according to His free will, everything what He has purposed, according to His good pleasure. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. All who had part in the divine plan of salvation, they were placed according to the divine development, nicely placed according to time and commission into the plan of salvation. And it is the same in our days. I would like to read this to you, how it is written of John the Baptist, from Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, here it says, from verse 2 to 6. Luke 3, from verse 2 to 6. Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make His path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. That's how it started. Brother Rus read from 2 Corinthians 6 of the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. When the time has come, According to the divine development, the word of God came to John, and already a man sent from God came on the scene with the divine message for that time. And it was him who could say, "He who has the bride, this is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom hears the bridegroom's voice, and this my joy is now fulfilled." So, when the development was so far advanced, God watched over his word to fulfill it. John didn't have to worry. The word of God came to him, and only then he came on the scene, called and ordained for the task he was from his childhood. You all know this. You all read it. The promise came to Zacharias when he stood at the right side of the altar. But now, the nomination into the service has come. The divine development was advanced. And so a man sent from God came on the scene, went through the region, and preached the baptism of repentance. Then in verse 4, what we always emphasize, it says, "As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet." Not as somebody wanted or thought, but as it is written. To us it became great that God first sends his word and let his people know his promises. And then the faith becomes in us a divine reality pertaining to the word which is about to be fulfilled. And then our faith sets in, and only then we see the fulfillment of that what God has promised. Also this thought we looked at, that true faith is not a matter of reasoning. True faith in the true God is always connected with the word of the divine promise. You can read through the whole Bible. Unless a promise came from the mouth of God, otherwise nobody would have known what he should believe. People who trust God believe not just something, they believe God. They believe God's word with all the prophecy and with all the promises which are written in it. Of our Lord is then written in Luke chapter 4 from verse 17, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" What a wonderful day, what a wonderful hour. The prophet Isaiah is handed to our Lord, and he reads, it says, he opened the book. What else could he have opened but that place that applied on that day on him? Which other place should he have opened in the 66 chapters? Most certainly that place, that chapter, and these verses that applied on him and his ministry. Everything wonderfully placed by God in a perfect way. And all of us who we believe him and love him, we want to let ourselves be placed wholeheartedly into this divine order in the plan of salvation, so that he can finish his work. I read you the word from the prophet Isaiah. It is well known to all of you. Here it is written in chapter 61 from verse 1 and then 2. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. What a wonderful word. That's how it was written for more than 800 years in the prophet. Suddenly, the word was reality. The Spirit of God came upon Jesus Christ our Lord. You most certainly read it when our Lord was tempted. Right after his baptism, the Spirit of God came upon him. And then it went through the temptation. And then it says here, as we read in Luke 4 from verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And then comes that what we read, that there in the synagogue he read from the prophet Isaiah. What is it about? It is about the continuation of the ministry of Jesus Christ. It is about that the same gospel with the same impact for all who hear it is preached. And now we want to be taken over to this part by the grace of God. Teaching we received. I don't believe that there was a time in which God's word was revealed so extensive, so clearly, so thoroughly, and taught as in this generation. We have to place ourselves into the situation that many who also have read Genesis, for my sake, chapter 3, without knowing what really took place. How many have read without knowing what they read, without understanding what was written? God has given us an extraordinary privilege by His grace. Also this, I repeatedly said, all prophets and all apostles could sit in the audience. We would preach what we have preached, for it is the absolute and pure truth of the Word of God. We didn't interpret anything. We took nothing away and we added nothing. We believe as the Scripture has said. As we now in the teaching were led into the Word, so we now as the church, really as the overall church, we must be brought into conformity concerning the effect of the promises. We have to take seriously the promises which were given, for they are given to the church of the living God. And there Brother Branham said once so nicely to a preacher who came to him and who explained him that the time of the apostles, with all the supernatural accompanying side effects, is over. And there the man of God says, wholeheartedly, I will show you where the Lord has given the promises and how they were fulfilled. And you show me where he annulled them and where he declared them null and void. And this nobody can. Also those people not who cannot believe God's word or who don't want to believe. But it remains, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. This I will also believe then when I don't have the faith that he reveals himself as the same, that it is true. For it could be that God has various ministries and suddenly takes somebody who has faith so that even the last promises find their fulfillment. By the way, I think we will walk together forward and be available to the Lord. The scripture which Brother Branham mentioned many times speaks to my heart more and more, and I think it is time that we think about it. Not only I, but all of us, we have to face God. Maybe I have done my ministry so far, that God wants to work now in general and wants to bless all, setting in all and using us all. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 14, in verse 12, the following promise is written. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. This promise is not written in the singular, not for one individual, but really, he that believeth on me, just like in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized. Here it says, he that believeth on me. And here we come to the core of the matter. Only he can truly believe in him to whom he has revealed himself to be who he really is. Do you understand this? The true faith is, as we can read it, John 7, here it says in verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Not only he who believes on me, but he who believes on me as the scripture has said. And right this I would like to point out to you, so that you understand who those are who with divine authority and with divine right use the name of Jesus Christ in such a way that through them the power of God is manifested, just as it was manifested through Jesus Christ. And for this is necessary that we see the precise connection of which it is about here in chapter 14 of the Gospel of John. I read from verse 8, John 14 from verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Here we must read very carefully, as with all the words of God. First it says here, I read it again, namely in the second part of verse 10, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Here are two things which belong together, namely the ministry of the spoken word, namely that what shall happen and what God wants to work, that it is spoken out, and the other are then the works that confirm the spoken word. Did we get this? And this is preceded that we recognize who the Lord is. He is not just somebody. He is God, manifested in the shape of a man. He is Emmanuel, God with us. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Philip asked him, and he said, show us the Father. He said, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? After this mighty revelation of Jesus Christ comes the promise. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. A continuation of the divine manifestation, of the divine authority, of the proclamation of the word, of the preaching of the gospel, but also a continuation of the ministry of Jesus Christ our Lord in his church that is in full conformity with him and his word. And it was necessary to bring the church into conformity with his word, so that the word which we speak out because of divine promises, that he can confirm them by the works. Here we read, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. One question, is it not written that Christ in us is the hope of glory? Is it not written that he wants to dwell in our hearts through the faith? So, as God was in Christ and could reveal himself here on earth in the holy body speaking and working, so Christ paid the price on the cross of Calvary to redeem himself a body, to make himself a church, to sanctify her in his blood and in his word, so that he can have lips through which he can speak, hands which can be laid on, so that people are available for him on earth, whom he can bless and whom he can use. As Brother Branham was set and blessed by God, of course, also the word was confirmed in a mighty way. So it must and will be in the overall church now at the end. And I am so far that I don't want to wait any longer. It seems to me as if the time has come to not only speak about it, but as the works of the spoken word shall happen what happened back then. Not empty words, full words, which God then also confirms. It is underlined here in verse 13. because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So, back to the faith, to the word, to the prayer, and then to the courage to take God at His word, to believe that the Lord will also fulfill the promises that He has given. If we tonight can believe that we have the same gospel and that the same power of God is even today available, then of necessity the same works as a confirmation of the word must be manifested. Then the lost must be saved, the bound must be delivered. Then all that, what happened then, and what the Lord also confessed, what His ministry contains, then a continuation of this ministry must take place. It says here, just as we read, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So, the anointing belongs to it. Also this we time and again emphasized. There are two things. Christ was begotten by the Spirit. This we all know. That's how it is written. Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And then also in Matthew 1 it says, the Holy One born of thee is of the Holy Ghost. So He was begotten by the Spirit, but on the day of His baptism, the Spirit came upon Him. Not only begotten and born by the Spirit, but with the same Spirit, authorized, equipped. And now He was not only begotten by the Spirit, now He could say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because He has anointed me, begetting and anointing. Birth and equipment are two totally different things. The one is the begetting by the Spirit, the other is the anointing and equipment with the Spirit. That's how it is also with us. We are, by the word of truth, by the Spirit of God, begotten. So, born again, and thus become sons and daughters of God. But then, upon these born again sons and daughters of God, the same anointing shall come down as the equipping for the ministry, for the manifold tasks that were given to the church. Of course, we are children of God, provided we have experienced the new birth. Jesus Christ did not become the Son of God when the anointing came upon Him. He was begotten and born as the Son of God. According to the scripture, Thou art my Son, today I have begotten thee. Not, Thou art my Son, today I have anointed you, but Thou art my Son, today I have begotten thee. And in the same psalm it is written, by the way, Psalm 2, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and I will give you the uttermost parts of the earth. Everything was written already. Everything has its place. Now, we have to, really, after all the teaching, believe in it, that God pours out the power of the Spirit upon us, that the bones, the several members, as the prophet Ezekiel saw it, are put together and come on their feet. The prophet saw how they were lying around, they were there, but not yet put together. Paul writes to the Corinthians in chapter 12, by one Spirit we have been all put together unto one body and baptized with one Spirit. We want to speak it out here very clearly. We are the children of God because we were born again by the Spirit and by the Word. That's how we said it already. That's how we experienced it. Now we want, by the grace of our God, that this quickening power, this equipping power, this power of God, that is no more in our ability, but the power of God that submits us under God, making us available for God, consecrates us to God. And Brother Branham used here the comparison with the vessels in the Old Testament. The vessels were cleansed, and that was the first experience. But then they were filled and by it put into the service. We have sung many times, only vessels, Holy Master, but filled with your power. This power of God must come upon the church before the same things can happen which happened through the ministry of Jesus and then also became possible by the early church. You all know it, whether it was our Lord or whether it was the Pentecost experience. And I'm not speaking of that here a Pentecostal church should be established. No, I speak of the Holy Spirit. It is a big difference whether we look on denominations which have put on biblical formulations and names, or if we by faith reckon with the power of God, with the power of the Holy Spirit, which wants to manifest itself through the church. Before this can happen, we must believe that it is necessary. We must know that this promise was given to us in the Word of God, and that we shall be equipped with a power from on high. Before that, it doesn't work. Before that, its own efforts. But then it is the arm of God that moves, and then everything is oiled. You all know that the Spirit of God is compared with oil. Then everything stops what still grinds, what somehow doesn't want to run. Then everything runs smooth, namely in that moment when the oil of the Spirit, the equipping with the power of God, comes into the church. And I wished that the Lord would succeed to show us all that God wants to manifest Himself, that the promises for it are here, and that the time in its development is far advanced, and that we now count with it, that He wants to manifest Himself. The question is only whether we are willing, despite all experiences which probably have been negative, or despite of experiences which gave us a bit problems, whether we nevertheless are ready to believe in such a way as the Scripture has said, and expect the equipment with a power from on high. Only by this it can happen. I could read it to you from the prophet Zechariah. It is in the Old Testament, but we believe at this place in all of the Word of God. And here it is written. Please note, in the connection with the capstone, you all know the promises in the Word of Prophecy, they are all a bit encrypted and scattered. But here in Zechariah, chapter 4, from verse 1 to 4, the golden lampstand is shown, the two lamps and the pipes, and then also the two lampstands later on, namely the two prophets, as one can read it in Revelation chapter 11. But here, in Zechariah chapter 4, from verse 7, it says, "Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, his hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth." I actually look for the word, not by might and not by power it will happen, but by my spirit. Did you find it? Pardon? Verse 6. But I read it already. No, I didn't read it. I just read 7. So, now verse 6. "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." We must count with it, and I wished that we understand the time has come now. God made so much efforts with us to give us the teaching, to reveal the word, to make it great. Now he wants to manifest his power through earthy vessels. Who believes that God, at the end of days, will pour out his spirit upon all flesh? Do you really believe it? Amen. It must take place. And these are the end of days. And therefore, it will happen in our days. I don't belong to those who could say, tomorrow it will be. This I leave up to God. But one thing I know, the same God who has born us again unto new life by his word and by his spirit, the same God who led us through his spirit into all truth, who awakened in us the living hope on all the realization of the many promises, the same God watches over his word, and he knows precisely that we just make up the mechanism, but of course not the dynamics. The dynamics comes from God, and this is the Spirit of God. But both is necessary, and both belongs together. On one hand, the mechanics, and on the other hand, the divine dynamics, namely the Spirit of God. How many would be ready to believe that God will pour out his Spirit? Not only to ask and to beg and then walking on disappointed, but just in a happy faith, in the certainty of faith, thanking the Lord that he has done it, so that he can do it. Because he who believes that God will pour out his Spirit can thank him already that he has done it already, and then it will be manifested. For these are the ways of God. First, we hear the word of promise. Then we believe it and thank God that He fulfilled it already. And then we see it suddenly fulfilled. I believe, after all these years of teaching and preparation, we should have learned enough in all areas to make us now fully available for the Lord. Surely we can believe that He blessed and used others, and then we look on ourselves and give up hope and think, how can God use me? Right, those people who look on themselves and then come to the conclusion and say, who am I? God certainly cannot use me. Those are the ones whom He most certainly will use. Believe me, that's them. If somebody comes with a lifted up chest and says, I'm suitable for that, me the Lord can use. Such a person does not know yet where God dwells and what His name is. He didn't make an experience with Him yet, has not come yet into His presence. No, God wants that we come humbly into His presence, but believing and trusting, not depressed, but just knowing God has said it. And we most certainly also understood from the word to the Ephesians, if the time in its development has advanced so far, and the Lord has a remnant upon whom He can pour out His Spirit, then it will happen, the promise He has given, and He will most certainly fulfill it. His counsel was revealed to us. We believe it, and we are available for Him more than ever before, and we believe with all our hearts. As soon as the development has reached its measure and the fullness of times has come as it is written, then God will do what He promised. As John was called and carried out his ministry, as the Lord Jesus was born and then carried out His ministry and suffering and dying, and everything happened according to the Scripture, so it was in the course of the plan of salvation. When the time came that God wanted to send His prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord, He did it. He called him. He revealed Himself to him. Yes, the light, the pillar of fire, shortly after His birth, was above Him in this simple shack. What was it? The Lord wanted to indicate, here I have laid my hand on this man. I will speak and work. And has He done it? God has done it. In the same way, He will in a supernatural way continue to speak and continue to work. He didn't promise another prophet, but He gave us the promise to be with us until the end, until we come from believing unto seeing. And therefore, all the words which were brought to us, which we have heard, we want to receive them in us, and to it may God give His Spirit. Now, it is no more important with what kind of vehemence is preached here in the front. Now it is important that all experience the promised word of God for this time as the power of God by faith personally, that it doesn't say anymore this was a mighty sermon, but that it's being said the impact of the power of God during the sermon was mighty. It must go from the platform into the people. We all have to make our experiences with God. And I'm just fully convinced that the Lord, who started so wonderfully, He will finish in power and glory. He will perform what he intended to do unto the day of Jesus Christ. No great man anymore, but the great God in a very little people, whom he called out, to whom he spoke, to whom he revealed himself, who believe him, who received the promises, people who go on with him until he can finish his work. Here we have read in Zechariah that we should not despise the day of small things, for the capstone will suddenly be there and will be put upon the right place with shoutings, grace, grace unto it. How will it be? Grace be unto him who comes in the name of the Lord. If only it were so far that he who is the cornerstone and also the capstone could come to finish and crown his work and to take us home into his glory. To him, the faithful Lord who has become our Redeemer, to him be the glory throughout all eternity. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Maybe we sing before that the chorus, Just As I Am. Heavenly Father, you see us all. You know that we want to believe you. You revealed your word. Manifest now thy power. Faithful Savior, as you could say, I am not the one who does these works. So also we want to say shortly, not we are the ones who do these works. We speak it out by faith, what we have asked according to the promise of your word, and watch how it takes place, how it becomes reality. Dear Lord, we want to experience it very new, that your Spirit works in such a mighty way that people should call out during the sermon, what shall we do, dear brethren, to be saved? That you could send your word to deliver the captives, to save the lost, to heal the sick. Come now with the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon the whole church, O Lord, that your word could become a divine reality, and that the power of Satan would be broken, and those who are bound would be set free, according to your word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Faithful God, give authority that every other spirit is bound and be cast out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, so that only your Spirit could rule in our midst, that all those who are bound be set free, Dear Lord, may you make the beginning here on the platform, O Lord, that we experience the hour where we can say it in conformity of your word as an experienced fact. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Faithful God, you have led us by your Spirit into all truth. You revealed your word. You revealed your name. You made known the mysteries. Let now your Spirit rest upon us so that your works can be done, so that it takes place what took place in your ministry. Give faith. Give confidence, O Lord. I thank you for all my brothers and all my sisters. Lord, it is a wonderful time, a glorious time. The day of salvation, it's coming to its close. The time of grace, that also comes to its end. But one more time, you do great things. Blessed and praised be your wonderful name. You will take away all obstacles, everything what is in the way. You will take it away, and you will prepare a way for your people so that the glory of the Lord is manifested and all the ends of the earth see the salvation of our God. Faithful Lord, it didn't take place yet, but it will take place. All the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Faithful Lord, we thank you wholeheartedly, and we worship you, and we ask you, have your own way in our midst, in our lives. Take everything from us. What depresses us, what stops us, what is hindering in our way. Prepare your own way. Prepare our way. Take away every obstacle out of the way. Unite your people in your name, in your word, in your power. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory be unto you. With all our hearts and with all our soul, in the wonderful and holy name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be to our God. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. He sent his word and made us well. He gave teaching and revelation. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be to our God. Praise be to our God. Hallelujah. Let us sing the chorus, Hallelujah, I'm redeemed through his blood. I'm redeemed through his blood. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so well off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Savior is mine. Hallelujah. How wonderful it is to be saved. I'm redeemed through his blood. Hallelujah. I'm so well off. Hallelujah. The Savior is mine. Hallelujah. How wonderful it is to be saved. Hallelujah.